Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
If you have to write a wedding speech as the groom, father of the bride, maybe as bridesmaid or just the bride yourself, if that's on your agenda this year, stay tuned because we want to hear about the things, well, the do's and don'ts of writing a good wedding speech. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Lindsay Moyna, wedding planner, is with me on the line today. Lindsay, is this a big stress for guests?
Well, not really for the guests, but certainly those who have to give them, it can be. I think usually fathers tend to be the most nervous because they feel the most pressure, and the best man then as well. The groom can often get away with giving a lot of thank yous to fill out a lot of his part of the speech. But yeah, it can certainly cause stress, and we'd be big believers in trying to find ways to alleviate that. You know, it's definitely more common these days, you know, to maybe outsource a speech to somebody else in the family if a father
is
very, like if you have a brother or somebody in the family who's a lot more comfortable at public speaking, you know, it might be the best option for your family to have that person give the speech instead on behalf of the family.
Yeah, I was reading Gordon Ramsay, of course, celebrity chef, talking about his own daughter Holly's wedding at the weekend. And like he said, like, and he has a huge amount of, you know, public speaking experience and working in the TV business. And he talked about the fact that he said he was a hot mess, Lindsay, for the whole day of the wedding before he had to get up and deliver the speech. So like it's a hugely stressful job.
Yeah, well, it's coming from a place of emotion, and you're going back down memory lane and trying to think of all the good bits of, you know, your life together with your child and present that in the best possible way. And then, of course, I think it's different when you're speaking to your own family and friends as opposed to, you know, maybe people that you don't know or on a professional level. You know, it means something different. And people, you know, when they are that close to you, they are kind of hanging on every word that you say. So I think it just hits different. You know, and when you know you're probably going to be a little bit emotional giving it as well, you know, it's a different type of
that's
nerve.
That's okay. A little bit of, like, emotion is fine. Like this, you're talking about somebody that's very clearly very close to you in some capacity. And
yeah.
I think people probably expect that to some extent as well. We want to hear, Lindsay, listeners' experiences, the best and worst wedding speeches. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. What's your advice to somebody starting to put pen to paper this year, Lindsay?
First of all, if there's somebody who is really nervous and they feel an obligation, like if it is a father, for example, and you know that they are going to not enjoy any part of the day, or they're just going to be, you know, really overwhelmed, really, really stressed about it. I mean, nobody wants that for a person that they love either. So, you know, maybe consider having a conversation. Is there anybody else? You know, and it is really common as well, you know, for fathers or you know, certain people within the party not to give the speech. So I would say, first of all, don't feel under pressure to follow the norm. You know, it's okay if it's other people within, you know, the group speaking. And you know, we've had weddings before as well where no member of the bridal party has actually spoken. So, you know, and in this day and age as well, you know, you don't have to, nobody has to follow, you know, a traditional, you know, speech giving ceremony if you don't want to. But if you are giving one and you are nervous, you know, keep it short and sweet. Make sure you write a few key things down. Or if you're really, really nervous, don't be afraid to write the whole thing down and just keep practicing it over and over, because it will become more familiar to you. And, you know, if you're not naturally witty or funny, don't try to force that either.
Very few people can do humor well.
If the joke doesn't land,
it's horrendous. Just on that, Barry McLaughlin from the Communications Clinic is with me on the line today, because Lindsay mentioned, Barry, that many people are outsourcing the job now of speech writing. Have you many speeches to write for weddings this year?
Yes, this is something we've seen a lot of the last couple of years. And actually, you can kind of split the people who come in into kind of two groups. You have the people that Lindsay described who are absolutely terrified, the people who, you know, they don't really want to do it but feel they have to do it, that you know, it's something that's expected of them. But we also have people who are sent in by other people. And you know, I think it's quite interesting as well. I'd often maybe get a call from a bride to say, look, I'm going to send in the best man, or I'm going to send in the father of the bride or whatever to do that, because it's a big day for them as well. And I think one of the things that we'd be encouraging people to think about, if you are, to describe what one client said to me a couple of weeks ago, that they got a wedding invite and they said, look, it's like a court date. I have to be there. I have to be there at a certain time. I have to dress up. And I'm going to have to stand up and speak. So that person was coming there fairly worried about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the first bit of advice we give is that it's actually not about you. If you can think about the speech as, look, what's one thing I would like the people in the audience to remember about the bride and groom, maybe about the way they met, maybe one particular story about them, that's told with a bit of kindness and sincerity. That should be your first objective. The objective is not to entertain people. The objective is not to be funny, as Lindsay mentioned there as well. I think if any of your listeners think back to the speeches they remember at weddings.
Stop, Barry. No one wants to hear about the bride or groom's past exploits. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
that's exactly it. And I think the first thing is know your audience and don't be exclusive. So what I mean by that is there is no point in telling a funny story that six people in one table will get because they were there 20 years ago. You need to think about, you know, everyone else in the room to make sure that, they're getting a good sense of maybe something that isn't exclusive, isn't something that you'd need to be in a tight group of people to know and understand. The second thing is, keep it brief. Keep it brief.
Yeah, short and sweet.
You don't need to be speaking for more than 5 or 6 minutes. Be mindful of, well, is the speech before the meal? Because if it is before the meal, people are going to be hungry. If the speech is after the meal, people might be a little bit more relaxed and whatever. So knowing these things in advance, what's happening as well. And the final bit of advice we give people is, and a lot of things, and the way that it was introduced as well, the written speech and what are you going to write down. Remember, a speech is a spoken word. And you might write down something in such a way that when you're trying to read it afterwards, the sentences might be too long. There might be enough pauses. Say it out loud. Tell it as a story. And then write down the notes to support you in the best way you can.
John in Limerick has suggested keep it to 10 to 12 minutes. God, I would think that's very long, Barry. 12 minutes?
I think it is. If you look at 5 minutes, that's effectively counting to 300. You know, and think about it as well. If you have a good speech and there's little pauses for, toasts and laughs, if that's the case, you know, make sure that you build that in as well. Mm. I have never heard anyone walk away and say, God, that speech was too short. I remember watching a speech 2 years ago where a very successful man gave a speech about his daughter. He only mentioned her by name twice in a speech that lasted nearly 40 minutes.
Christ.
And he was using the speech as an opportunity to tell everyone in the room essentially how much money he had and how much he'd spent it on his daughter's education. That was not a speech that was designed. That was not a speech that was designed for the day in question, for the people involved. It was a speech where somebody just wanted to tell everyone in the room how great they were.
Oh, horrendous.
If you have the honour of being asked to deliver a speech, it's about the couple.
Yeah.
Say something kind about them. Say something memorable and keep your audience in mind.
Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors is on the line, Barry, as well. Did you write your own or did you get help, Joey?
You know, I did. I wrote my own. I was in the lucky position where I out of college, I spoke a good bit in terms of delivering presentations when I was in my own studies and stuff. So I was a little bit well versed in it, but I was actually quite out of practice before I got to my wedding. And I had a friend of mine who was in, the tech world and delivering speeches in front of people. So I employed him and I wrote the ideas down of what I wanted to say. And I gave the team, and then we wrote something. And like that, Barry and Lindsay were both saying their advice is incredible. Is that I stood in the back room of our GAA club in a pub one night, and I stood in for an hour and I ran the speech 3 or 4 times because I didn't want to refer to notes. So I wanted to seem like I was delivering my speech off the top of my head, but I wasn't.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and it is, but I think it is actually a skill and a craft and an art.
Yeah.
And my brother is a person who delivers speeches for a living as well, and he would have gone to Toastmasters over the years and got involved with those sort of speaking clubs to learn the craft, because it is really a skill. Public speaking is that. So doing it one-off is incredibly difficult for lots of people, especially people who are good communicators off the cuff, communicate to loads of people on one-to-one basis. My dad is the most recent example I have. My sister got married, Lynn and Jason, down in the Heritage during the summer, and my dad wanted to deliver this speech, and my dad is actually a very good personal speaker, and I probably learned it off him, but doesn't actually deliver that many speeches about someone he loves that much. So, you know, God forbid, bloody eulogies and whatnot.
Yeah.
But this one, he really wanted to deliver a speech for my sister. So my lovely wife Suzanne is a broadcaster, got him in, and actually walk through it. And what worked for my dad was he wanted to speak off the cuff. But I think the emotion of speaking about someone with such feeling about your daughter and wanting to go up there and have the one chance to express how you feel about your kid, and that's what my dad wanted to do. I felt and we felt and he felt that he might not deliver it and might not get across what he wants to say because he might falter or get emotional. So what we decided and Suzanne decided with my dad was we wrote it and he delivered it as a speech, fully read. And the kind of theory we used about it was like, if you look at the best speeches, Martin Luther's, Obama's, or the presidents, all of them have prompts. They have brilliant words, they deliver with tone, they can deliver humor, empathy, whatever, but they actually read the speeches. And the best speeches are given, they look like they're off the cuff, but they might actually be read. And my dad read it, and my dad is quite a humorous man, but not particularly funny in stories like myself, but he delivered it perfectly.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. It's good advice for people listening today. Cormac Lally is with us too, Joey. Cormac, you're from Bespoke Wedding Speeches, so you've made an entire business out of helping people to do this. What's your advice for anyone listening today?
Yeah, I would concur with what the guys have been saying there. Keep it short and be honest. You know, I think being honest is probably the most important quality of it. To be nice and say something nice. Like I said, not everyone is cut out to be Tommy Tiernan level comedians. They're just not. But practice. Get a good start on it. Like, weddings don't just fall out of the sky. You have 2 or 3 years between finding out you're going to be getting married or you know, letting your parents know. Like, I'd have guys who come to me a year in advance. I'd have lads come to me 6 months in advance. And those are the guys who are really worried. And the more you practice, the easier it becomes for you. It's a real case of train hard, fight easy. But the more you practice this, the more you do it. I always say to my lads, as soon as we have the speeches written and they start the coaching process, I tell them, print out that speech, put it into your back pocket now, bring it everywhere with you. And every time you get a chance to sit down, read it.
Yeah.
Sit in the car, read it. Read it on your lunch. You know, just
over and over again.
Just over and over and over again. And I teach the guys a breathing method that works with it. And they're able to calm themselves right down.
Mm.
Because the worst part of public speaking often is not the public speaking itself. It's actually the waiting to go. The waiting to get the microphone, that's the worst part. And if you have something that's practiced and repeated over and over again, as soon as you stand up there, your training and all your practice, that all kicks in.
Yeah.
And you're away to the race.
I always find, you know, pick a spot or two at the back of the room so you're not catching the eye of somebody that you know or a close friend or family member. So, you know, you're not actually making direct eye contact with people that you love in front of you. I always think it's better to try and find something vague to look at down at the back. Listeners got in touch to say the father of the groom speech was a simple one-liner. Thank you all for coming and best of luck to the bride and groom. Cheers. And this listener has got in touch, Tony in Galway, to tell me that a best man was giving a speech and he said, I'd like to compliment the bridesmaids. I think they're the most beautiful bridesmaids I've ever seen. And from the back of the room, a Dublin lad shouts up, you should have gone to Specsavers. It brought the entire reception down in laughter, including the bridesmaids. Can you imagine actually saying that? My God. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.